words. I want to treat this. I really want to make this in such a way that we take some pieces of information home with us that we can, that'll challenge us and also will help us in our homes. I admire your theme this year on the home, and I want to give you just a few pieces of things that maybe you can try to help you. So they're passing out these note cards. I'm going to grab the remote real quickly from up here for our slides. While they're passing them out, just hold on to those. Make sure that you get a pencil. If you don't have one, there's some in the back of the pews, and I think they've got some pencils that they're passing out as well. And so I appreciate these guys in helping us with this. And your participation is going to be extremely, extremely beneficial to us tonight, okay? So what I want to do here in just a few moments, I'm going to tell you what to write on that note card. It's going to be very simple. It's going to be very quick. But when we're done writing on that note card, I'm going to ask that you pass it to the end of the aisle. Here's the thing. This is completely anonymous. I don't need your name on the note card. Did you hear that? Don't put your name on the note card. That note card's going to come back to me. I want this to be completely anonymous, and I want it to be completely honest. And I'm going to give you about three or four things to write on that note card here in just a moment. Does everybody have one? Raise your hand if you don't. These young men are helping us great. All right? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. First question. And you can put a one by it or you can just write next to the line. First question that I want you to answer or at least give us some type of response. Average amount of time throughout the weekdays, Monday through Friday, average amount of time that you would call quality family time. Do it in sections of 30 minutes or hours, if it's 2 hours, if it's 10 hours, but just figure out pretty quickly the amount of time that you spend with your family that you would classify it as quality family time, Monday through Friday. Okay? I need the young people's participation as well in this. Quality family time. You're being completely honest. All right? Second question is going to be on your weekends, approximately how much quality time do you spend with one another on your weekends? Quality family time. Obviously, these are estimates. But I think pretty quickly we can get a pretty good estimate. All right. Next thing I need you to do, if you are a parent right now, you have children in the home, just place a check mark underneath both of those two answers you gave. If you have children in the home currently, put a check mark. And then lastly, what I need you to signify is if you are male, put an M. If you are female, put an F somewhere on that card. Now, what I want you to do, you can fold it up, you can turn it over face down, however you want to do it. But if you will, pass those cards to the ends of the aisles. And at this time, these guys, they're going to pick these cards up. They're going to bring them up here, and they're going to stack them right here on the Lord's Supper table. If you'll help us with that. Excellent. Outstanding. Great. While they're doing that, I just want to tell you, and I know you know this, I love your ministers. Joe and Cody, what they're doing, I love them and admire them. I admire their families. I'm so happy they're working with you. And I'm thankful to your elders. Several of your elders are great personal friends of mine. And I'm so thankful for them. I've got a lot of great friends that go way back in here, here this evening, go back to UNA, the Christian Student Center. And I tell you, it's why I look forward, especially to being here. We got some Hatton folks, originally Hatton folks. And good to be. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. We have time. I'm going to refer back to this, but this is going to help me with some understanding as well as where truly families are right now. And I tell you what, you're welcome after service. I'll leave these here if you're interested in just seeing maybe some of the overall, what are we looking at? A reason I appreciate the study on the home is this. Ben and I, our associate minister who's here tonight, our elders, we continually are talking about the family and the challenges that are facing our families within the churches of Christ, and within our own congregation. And I think you're being proactive in this, and I appreciate that. What I want you to do is just consider, we live under certain anthems when it comes to our home. I would venture to say that many have referred in your life to home sweet home, right? We love our homes. My wife is a huge Wizard of Oz fan. And so we have on one of our walls, there's no place like home. We went on a beach vacation here recently and traveled for a week, went down to the Gulf Coast. And as we were traveling home, we were tired. And, you know, we turned on County Road 108. And just when we began to see the cornfields and that little place there that we live on out in the country, and we get to see our little farm there that we've got, and look to the right, and there's the house, and you pull up in there, and we walk inside, and the wife and kids are going, I love to smell our house when we've been gone a long time. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Home is precious to us. I'd venture to say that some of you, many of you, probably have things written on your wall. Joshua 24 and 15. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose for yourselves who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so we live by this, and it's why we appreciate the concept of Christian homes. Will you do something for just a moment? I want you to use your imaginations for the next few minutes. And what I'm going to do is we're going to open up kind of an imaginary or a person that we're going to go into his house, his family, see kind of the characteristics that are associated with it. It's not anyone in particular, but just imagine this for just a moment. They're a Christian family. I mean, the folks that live here, they're a Christian family. And Sunday mornings, Sundays, they're at church every single Sunday. Every single week, they're there. Minded many weeks, they kind of drag in a little late, but they're there. People recognize them. They're part of the congregation. And when they're there, they worship. He sings. The mother sings. Although if you were to ask him, are you really worshiping God? If he was honest, he would tell you that oftentimes he doesn't know the words that he sang. And the Lord's Supper is passed, and they take the Lord's Supper and the collection, time for the plate to pass by, and they typically wouldn't put anything in because times are tough. Granted, the 4 cell phone bills that they have equals about $400 a month, and just makes times tough. So the plate passes. And during worship, during preaching, well, for the most part, mom and daddy pay attention. Young man who is their son, he's in his teenage years, early teens. Let's say he's 13 years old. Typically what he's doing during preaching, he's got his cell phone out and he's playing Fortnite. Oh, many people in the church think he's on his cell phone Bible, but he's playing Fortnite. And his parents really don't cause a fuss, even though he's at the prime age that really he should be seriously considering discipleship. He should seriously be considering becoming a Christian, but they've kind of brushed it to the side and ignored it because, well, it was a trend they started when he was young, just allowing him to use iPads and play on them during church service, and it kind of stuck. And instead of causing a big family fuss, they just kind of let it go for now. During the week, it's like any typical family. They go to school. Kids go to school. In the mornings, it's the hustle and bustle. Son, get up. Daughter, get up. A few minutes later, son, get up. Daughter, get up. And finally, you've got 15 minutes to get your breakfast, get cleaned up, get to school. We're out the door. And so it's a rush. Daddy goes to work. Daddy is trying to excel in the corporate world. And so he works Monday through Friday, and typically he works in the evenings. If he can take overtime, he takes overtime. And so when they get in the evenings, 3, 4 o'clock, the kids are there, and they kind of depart and do their own thing. One goes to one room, the other goes to the other room. One gets on a cell phone, the other gets on the phone and is doing some texting. And Mama, she's so tired because she works as well, that when she walks in, she just kind of plops down on the couch, exhausted, and takes out her phone, and she sees what Aunt Gertrude has put on Facebook, and for the next 3 hours, that's her life. Granted, if these parents were really checking and seeing what was going on in their house, they would be extremely disturbed to know that their son, when he's in his room and he's got his earbuds in his ears, that what he's done in secrecy is he is entangled in a deep, dark world of pornography. And they don't know it. Their daughter, because she's not around dad and getting the affection and attention that a daughter should receive from the father, she's reaching out to boyfriends through text messages, and there's some inappropriate conversations that are taking place. The parents have no idea. So you say, where's the family time? This guy, he's a season ticket holder to his favorite football team. Times are tough, right? But hey, he sacrifices for the family. And so they go to their favorite football games when it's a home game, and he sees it as family time, and the kids go along. And in honesty, if they were to tell their parents the truth, they would tell them, this is the only way we can spend time with daddy anyway, so we go. If he were to ask us what we would like, I would love to ride dirt bikes. And she would say, I would just love for my dad just to spend some time talking to me. But he sees it as this is family time. But hey, when it's away games and they're home, he really doesn't want anybody in the room because he wants to. I mean, it's the only time he's got for himself. It's the only thing he likes for himself is to be able to sit in front of the television and watch one ball game. I mean, is that too much to ask? Sunday rolls around and they go to church. And people will say, look at this good family. They've got a Christian home. Now, obviously, I gave you that as an illustration just to show you or give you a glimpse into maybe an imaginary family. But would you say that at least portions of their life in reality could be present in many people's lives today who call themselves, we have a Christian home? See, the world is having its influence. And you think about what Satan's trying to do for our home or do to our homes. Here we are, and what we want is we want happiness within the home. I mean, honestly, here's where I am. Satan, just leave my family alone. We're doing good. We're happy. We come home in the evenings. We play with the kids. We have a good time. Everything just seems to be, Satan, leave us alone. But you know the adversary, don't you? The adversary, the devil, he wants to wreck your home. He wants to cause you pain. He wants to see arguing. He wants to see kids who are disconnected from the family. That's the influence of this world on our homes. That's why when we talk about being proactive in our family life, that taking charge in intentional parenting and intentional marriages to really invest in these things, the reason we say that is because our Lord told us we've got an adversary, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Here's the key term. Be sober, be vigilant. You be sober, you be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what he wants is he wants to cause our family's pain. And so the reality is we have a worldly influence. Over the next few minutes, I want us to consider what these influences are. What is it? How is it the world is impacting our homes? We won't necessarily go to Genesis 13, but I'm going to describe it to you. That you'll recall that it's a story about Abram and Lot. And problems arise. The herdsmen, and there's some conflict. And Abram and Lot, they don't want to have any conflict between their own families. And so Abram does the wise thing. He says, look, if you'll take your folks and go one direction, I'll take my folks and we'll go another direction, and that'll prevent any strife from taking place. Do you realize on that day when Lot chose the land of Sodom, even though this man is called Righteous Lot, I believe he did it with all honesty and sincerity and wanted to do the right thing, that single decision that he made for his family that day would be so destructive in nature. If he'd have known it, if he'd have known already what was going to happen in the future, he'd have said, I'm going the other way. But you recall, he chose that land, that fertile land where Sodom was. And you recall that it ended in the destruction of his own wife. And we see, even illustrating by that one simple passage, every day we're making decisions for our families and our homes. When my son was born, my firstborn child, I remember being in the hospital room over at Keller. When he was born with a, I'm talking about a head full of yellow hair, wasn't he, Kelly? You remember? And I was still trying to figure out, what do you do as a daddy? And I'm in that hospital room, and I'm trying to hold this child. I didn't even know how to hold a baby, a newborn. And they're teaching me how to hold it. And I looked into this young man's eyes, and I promise you, the only thing that went through my mind that day was this. As a daddy, as a Christian daddy, I'm committing to you, son, that I will invest everything within me to help you go to heaven. And the world wants in. And our adversary, he wants in. He wants involved. In every decision we make constantly throughout our lives have consequences, some of them positive results. Others, oh, I wished I'd have gone about it a different way. So here we are. How is the world influencing our homes? What's going on? Well, I would venture to say that many of us, and those of you who are of an older generation than I am, You can see even better how much our homes have changed and where the worldly influences have come in. I give you the note cards. I just want to share a few, maybe just a few of these, a handful of these. And just share with you what some of you wrote. Number of quality hours in a week spent with the family, quality hours. This person put 10 hours, 4 hours a day. I like that. Seven to 14 hours, 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week, 10 hours on the weekend. Quality time, 8 hours. Quality, 1 hour. Quality, Monday through Friday, 10 minutes. I knew that there would be a big variation between the numbers. But when you consider the number of hours Monday through Friday, we all know that we have a challenge before us, don't we? There's 120 hours, if I'm not mistaken, Monday through Friday. Waking hours that we are with our children typically would be what? Maybe 4, maybe 5 hours a day. Maybe. If we work a job that allows us that. Most of the time our children are awake, what influence are they being influenced by? Most of the time our children are you hearing me? That our children are awake, they are being influenced by their peers and their surroundings, who they are with Monday through Friday. Intentional parenting. If it's 3 hours in the evening that you're home with the children, invest. No, I know you're tired. I got that. I get tired too. But those children, if we're talking about influence from the world, And the majority of the day, they are not with us, parents, grandparents, if it's grandkids, whoever it may be. If the majority of the day they're not with us, then that means we've got to be very, very involved in the time they're with us to help them to be able to overcome the temptations from the evil one. Now, we say, how does the world influence Christians to undermine the big issues confronting the sanctity of the home? All right? So in other words, big issues that we're facing today that are undermining the sanctity of the home, homosexual marriage, shacking up, transgender issues. I'm talking about the big issues that right now our children are hearing from their peers, from society, from the world. How is it? What's the big way that the world is undermining the sanctity of a mother, a father, and children within the home? Where are they getting to us? Where are they getting to our children? I'll tell you one area. What's the number one? Listen to this. What's the number one three-word phrase in the English language? Used by far more than any other phrase, more than any other idiom within the English language. What is it? You want to know what it is? It's, oh my. I couldn't even write it up there, I'll just tell you. Because we don't use that phrase within our home unless we are singing, oh Lord my God. When I and also, you say, what are you talking about, Chris? How's the world influencing our homes? How is the world going to undermine the sanctity of the homes? You want to know how? The bottom line is, the worldly thinking is, if we can get them in some way, these Christian homes, if we can get them in some way to begin to use the very name, the very essence of the Lord their God to lower their standard, to lower their respect, if we will get them not to worry or not to shudder when they hear it spoken on television, if we will get them just to give just a little when it comes to their reverence and respect for their God, then guess what? The door's been opened. If they will stop and say, what's the big deal? You know, the Jews wouldn't even write the full name of God. They'd write the first letter of His name because it's too holy. But you know what society does now? Society says, okay, you Christians, here, we got one for you. And even people within the church have done this. It's not OMG capital, is it? Oh, no, 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 no. It's OMG lowercase. Can I speak to your youth for just a moment? And maybe adults as well. If this is part of your lingo, if this is part of your texting, if this is part of your conversation, if it's something that you, I didn't even realize what I was doing, repent. Repent. Our God is too holy. Our God is too great. Our God is too glorious for us ever, ever to use His name in vain. So society says, let's lowercase it and let's say it's, oh my, pagan God. So now you're saying you're swearing in the name of a false or pagan? No. It makes no sense. Exodus, when you read the book of Exodus in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 7, you're not to take the Lord God, His name in vain, because the person who does, He won't hold him guiltless. Psalm 111, it's a familiar verse to us. We love it from the King James. Psalm 11, verse number 111 and verse number 9. Holy and reverend is His name. How holy and precious. And so you say, how is the world influencing our homes? The world sees this perspective. Let's undercut, let's undermine the sanctity of their God. And if we can get them to give in that one regard, the most common used phrase in the English language permeates everywhere, saturated everywhere, in conversations at school, in conversations at work, in conversations at home. I want to talk for the next, we've got a few minutes left. I want to talk about building strong families and giving you just a few key things. How do we resist those temptations? Because you know that there are many ways that the world is influencing our home, whether it's through accessibility, Our children have greater access to things that could be a potential temptation than many of us when we were younger could ever have imagined. It's accessibility. So with all the things that are trying to influence our homes in a negative state, what do we do positive? Let's be proactive. How do we resist those temptations? Here's the reality. I don't have all the answers. I'll be 40 here in just a few months, and I'm still trying to figure this parenting thing out. My family will tell you that if it comes to me spanking, I will. But if daddy disciplines, it wasn't good. And it's few and far between that I have to do that. I believe in discipline. I believe in discipline within our homes, but I don't always believe in discipline by spanking. Sometimes I find other ways are more effective. The purpose of discipline is to correct a behavior. It's not to take out our anger. And so, this morning, I had to discipline a child. I'm not going to tell you which child. But this child needed a spanking. This child was seated on a stool and said, okay, in a way that I did not like the tone of voice. And when I reared back and got that backside, you know, they always say, my daddy always told me, it's going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts. I never believed it until I hit that stool with my hand. Oh, I got the spanking there, but I also got that stool, and I didn't grimace. I wasn't going to get, because then they'd laugh at me. But you know, I walked in the other room, and I do this a lot after discipline. Did I do the right thing? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you, parents? Is that going to correct that behavior? And so when I say I don't have every single answer out there, I mean it. But I do believe in what the Scriptures teach us concerning how we guard and protect our homes. Because there is a plethora, there are numerous verses that will help us in these concepts. So I'm going to give you just a few real quickly. I don't have a lot of time. One thing, and I encourage you to consider this, is you got to cultivate an atmosphere of community within your home. Homes, I mean, when you talk about our purposes in our homes should be a place that bring families together. Together. Help us, Lord. Help us make that quality time to bring our families together. The reality is, if you were to ask me, what are some of the big issues facing homes today? It's this. It's that in general across society, because of our busyness, families aren't home. Many of you grew up in generations to where, how many of you can relate to this? We went to church on Sunday morning, we went home. We went to church Sunday night, we went home. We went to school and work the next day, then we came home. And we did that Monday through Friday. And on Wednesday, we went to Bible study. And then we came home. And on Saturday, we were home. How many of you can relate to that? Things have changed, haven't they? And so one of the dynamics of our culture is, how do we as Christians in such a busy society, how do we cultivate this community of fellowship within the home? Number one thing is, when you're there, be present, right? Be present. Now, I mean, purposefully, we're going to give quality time to our families, but how many of this scene would be something that you would relate to in your home? Being present isn't being in the same room and everybody being on their own devices. That's not being present, right? That's not what the family atmosphere is supposed to. Well, we're spending time together. No, hang on just a second. Here's one thing I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you one thing tonight that I want to encourage you or challenge you with. Just try this. Before I give you the challenge, I'm just going to tell you, I had a temptation that I had to deal with concerning being present with my family when I was home, and I had to do some changes concerning my cell phone. I'll just go ahead and tell you, my cell phone, 99% of the time now, stays on vibrate. My phone don't ring. It doesn't. Because I found out when I was home and there with my children, and we were playing or whatever it may be, that cell phone rings, and guess what? Daddy jumps up. And instead of continuing to play with the kids and saying, hey, I can deal with that later. So guess what? Now, cell phone don't ring at home. It don't ring anywhere, I'll just tell you. And it's been the best decision for my family that I've made in the last few years. I'm going to tell you something. If it's an emergency, my wife's cell phone does ring, and people know, call my wife's cell phone if you really need to get a hold of me in the evenings. So purposefully, what you might want to do, daddies, if this is something you deal with, mamas, this is something you deal with, when you get home, silence the cell phone. And give your family 5 to 8 o'clock in the evenings of quality, intentional parenting, and with that wife or with that husband, intentional, hey, we are home, we are a family. Let's do things that would be spiritual in nature. Here's the challenge. For 1 week, try this. For 1 week, no media at home. Just 1 week. I'm talking about no TV. Could you do it? Our family, it wouldn't be an issue because we don't watch a lot of TV. But I know in some households, that could be a big issue. Try it. 1 week, no TV, no computers at home. And when you walk in the door, cell phones go in a basket. Try it. You know what you're going to find? Your family life is going to be enriched. You know what you're going to start doing? You're going to start saying, what are we going to do with our time? You know what you ought to do? You ought to break beans. That's one of our favorite things in our family. Sit on the floor and break beans. You know why? We talk. Yesterday, my son and I, we stacked square bales of hay. That was some quality time, I'm telling you. We talked. What you're going to find is, oh, now we've got some time. We can play Monopoly together. We can do our devotionals together as a family. We might even go out and start visiting some of the shut-ins and all those things that people say, well, what's going on in your life? And why is it that we in our families, we can't make it over to the children's home and visit the folks at the children's home? Why is it that we don't have time to be able to make it and visit our shut-ins in the congregation? Why is it that we don't have time to go visit those people who are sick in the hospital? And we go, we just don't have the time. We're so busy. No, you're not. No, I'm not. It's a priority. And so what we might do if we take on this challenge and say, for 1 week at home, no media, here's what we might do. We might really intentionally start seeing Matthew 25 lived out in our families. Visiting the sick, visiting the poor, helping the poor. Doing what the Lord said, this is what Christianity is supposed to look like. And training our children in the meantime. So that's the challenge for this week. Now, here's the reality behind why we would even consider that. Because all week long, on the outside, the world is trying to have its influence. How does it have its influence? On my mind. On my mind. So what am I feeding my mind? Oh, my. Is that what's going in my mind constantly? It's supposed to be a transformation that takes place within Christianity. Romans 12 and verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Feed my mind with godly principles. Feed my mind with spiritual things. Feed my mind to help me live like a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? So I'm going to cultivate that community. Secondly, real quickly, no compromise in your boundaries. Do you hear me? Now, one of my favorite verses is Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 24. In the giving of the law, it says concerning these statutes that the Lord has given, they are for our good always. The boundaries that the Lord has set within our homes, I want to speak to daddies. Everything coming right back right here, right now. Daddies, step up to the plate and enforce the boundaries of the Lord. Don't compromise. I'll give you a few examples real quickly. In my family, there's no alcohol on property. I won't allow it. I don't care if it's a man who, wherever they may be, not associated with me. No alcohol is allowed on our property. I know there's a generation out there that says we used to go to the liquor store and get a bottle of Jack Daniels and mix it with peppermint syrup and that's our cough syrup. No. No, we got a boundary in our family. No alcohol will be on our property. Not going to happen. We're not going to have the Lord's name taken in vain. No, I'm telling you what. It would be harsher discipline from my perspective on my children, much harsher, if I heard them verbally take the Lord's name in vain than if they used some kind of swear word. I promise you. I mean it. Now, they would get disciplined, I promise you, if I ever heard anything unholy come out of their mouth. But especially the Lord's name. No, not ever do I want to hear the Lord's name taken in vain. Other areas that we could consider. We don't joke about divorce in our household. Do you hear me? You want to talk about where the world is influencing our homes? My wife and I, we don't kid. We don't get in a little spat and say, well, if you don't straighten up, I'll just leave. We don't joke. Not concerning that. Daddies, listen here. When it comes to the rules that you set within your house, God gives us the guidelines. There's times that you as a daddy and I as a daddy need to step up and be the house of our house, the head of our household. And there's times we say, son, you're not wearing that. Daughter, you're not wearing that. While the kids at school, they dress like, no. Well, daddy, give me the specifics on where you find that you could tell me. Daddy is the specific. He's the head of that house. And so when I say, not just respect those boundaries, don't compromise when it comes to the boundaries of the Lord. I'm going to give you one quick tool. Jot this down, covenant eyes. If you're not familiar with covenant eyes, you need to be. 64%. We're talking about what influence of the world on the homes. 64% of quote-unquote Christian men view pornography on a monthly basis. It's in the 30 percentile of Christian, quote-unquote, men who view pornography on a daily basis. That breaks my heart. Women, it's about half of that. Covenant Eyes is a good resource that will monitor every device within your household to make sure that you are guarding. Somebody on the outside says, well, you're just sheltering your family. Be vigilant. Hear me? Be vigilant. If you talk like the world, and you dress like the world, and you think like the world, and you act like the world, you must be of, we're different folks. And don't be ashamed of that. Our Lord has called us to be different. Here's the third and final one, and that is a commitment to prayer and spiritual growth within our households. I love the prayer of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 29. Now therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant. May the prayer of every single one of us be this. May it echo the prayer of our Lord Jesus when he prayed concerning his own disciples. It be this. John 17, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. This isn't about isolating ourselves from the world. I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but listen to this. Mama, daddy, son, daughter, but that you protect them from the evil one. May God bless us in this study. One thing I've learned in the time I've been able to serve my God in ministry, and I learned it in some pretty eye-opening ways, is you never give up on anyone. Are you listening to me? You never give up on anyone. Well, no, something, homes can change. Homes can change, but decisions have to be made. I befriended a fella back when I moved to Hatton. When I moved to Hatton, we'd actually, Skye and I, my wife, we lived in Killen, and we were worshiping over at the Wood Avenue congregation. Sherry was there and several others, and the Turners helped us move to Hatton, Alabama. I'll never forget it. But we didn't know a whole lot about Hatton, but we became involved in the church there, and eventually they helped me with preaching school, and eventually they hired me as their minister. And I was meeting people in the community through various ways, through being at the stores in town and meeting and mingling with the guys who go up there to drink the coffee, and got to learn a lot of people that way. But I met another man in the community who I noticed he was always a cut-up. And he was about in his 60s, and he was still working construction, and he would travel down to South Alabama and back. But he lived there in the community, been there his whole life, being part of that community. But everybody in that community knew this about this man. He drank every day, and a lot of times he drank all day. And in my mind, I'm thinking, who knows? Maybe we can help him. Come to find out, he was raised in the church. Come to find out, he had some very, very solid foundation when it came to people who were some pillars in the church in that community. And when he was young, he obeyed the gospel at 13 years old, gave his life to the Lord, and followed for some time. Now, some of you, again, here's that generational thing. You can remember going back. Him at 13, 14 years old, he would pick up some of the older ladies in the community and drive them to worship service, 13, 14 years old. It wasn't long, though, he said that some of his buddies at school began to tempt him with drinking, and it stuck. And it stuck so much that it became such a part of his life that he said, you know, it's just like you would go out and have you a Coke or a Dr. Pepper. He says, that's how I like my beer. And I would see him in the community. I'd invite him to church, and several others in the community would constantly, hey, you need to come on. Come see me sometime. Come on. I got you a place just right here. You can sit by me. And a couple years ago, he finally said, okay. Still hadn't repented. But he would come ever so often, and his health was declining. And this man, eventually, I got a call. This was about 3.5 months ago. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was about 5 o'clock. I'm supposed to preach at 6 o'clock. I get it's actually a message that says, this gentleman, he is going downhill and his kidneys are shutting down. And I looked at my wife and I said, I've got to go up the road right now and got to try one more time. And I said, if I'm not there when 6 o'clock hits and I'm supposed to be at worship service, just tell the elders what's going on. They will take care of it. I got all confidence in it. And so I went to this man's house, walked in the mobile home that he lives in, and went back to where his room is, and I sat down next to him, and sitting right there on, I can still see it, sitting right there on the end table next to his bed was a koozie with a beer can in it. And I said, buddy, me and you's been friends a while now. I hope you live another 30 years. Things aren't sounding too good, are they? And he said, no, they're not. I said, I've been telling you a long time you need to repent. You've got to quit the alcohol. And you've got to quit the language. You must repent and come back to the Lord. He looked at me and he said, I'm ready. Do what? I made up my mind. I'm ready. We had prayer that afternoon and he was restored. Eventually, he got a little worse, but then he started to get a little better. And he went to a rehab up here in the Shoals, and they helped him with getting some things back going that he was having some trouble with. But his buddies were coming back from the community, and they were trying to bring him beer and whiskey there in the rehab center. And he said, boys, I don't need that. That's all right. I don't need that. Well, while he was up in rehab up here, our youth minister and I, Ben and I, we went up there one Sunday. We said, let's just try and have a worship service with him, see what he does. So we walked in the room, had the little cups of the Lord's Supper, walked in the room and said, do you mind if we have a worship service with you? We brought the Lord's Supper. We fellowship with one another, have some songs and read some scripture. He said, I'd love that. He said, I want you guys to know it's been 57 years since I took the Lord's Supper. So we had that worship service. Eventually he got to come back home. His buddies kept coming around, trying to bring him beer and whiskey. And finally, he called him in one day. And he said, boys, I know we've run a long time and you're my buddies, you're my friends. But he says, I want you guys to know that's not part of my life anymore. I'm headed that way. Repentance is a beautiful thing when it's true repentance. You remember when John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness? Remember, part of the sermon that he would preach is bear fruits worthy of repentance. Change. Repentance is change. And I could take you to a house and I could show you what change looks like. And maybe it's not alcohol that the home is, we're talking about this evening. Within our homes, maybe it's not something like alcohol. Maybe it's not even something like pornography or any one of the things that we know the world is trying to influence our homes. But maybe it's something there that nobody else knows of. It's time to change those things. And you're going to do that when you make up your mind and you say, you want to know something? Daddy's God put me here to be a holy husband and a holy father. Mama's a holy mother, a woman of godliness. Children, disciples growing up in the Lord, becoming New Testament Christians, having your own faith. Maybe there's change that needs to take place this evening. Homes can change and repentance can happen. And if you have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we're going to encourage you. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Do it for yourself and do it for your home this evening. If there needs to be repentance or if you need to become a Christian, we want to help you with that. Won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now
would be seated. Brother Don has an announcement to make.
This congregation has been so good to the children's home, so we wanted to give you a personal invitation.